CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
And hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Wickwire, pastor of Turning Point Church in the great city of Fort Worth, Texas. And it's so good to have you with us here on To Every Man an Answer, the Friday edition. And looking forward to some great questions, some great calls. And I'm excited about, well, you know, the Bible, because it is God's word. It's God's wisdom. It's his instruction book for living, his manual for life. And a lot of people have a lot of Bible questions these days, a lot of the reason, because the times are so crazy. So people are just thinking, there has to be more than just what I see. There's got to be something beyond me that is causing a lot of this. In other words, is there a spiritual world? Is there a spiritual reality? And yes, there is. Indeed, it's the fourth dimension. Jesus talked about heaven, talked about hell. The Bible talks about angels, demons. So there is indeed a realm that we can't see with our natural eyes, but it's there. And it does affect things on this earth. So people have questions. Are we living in the end times? Is this Bible prophecy being fulfilled? Whatever the question may be, maybe you've heard something in your own church or your Bible study class, and it made you wonder. You've got a question about what you heard. Well, give us a call. We're here for you. And simply dial right now. Most of the lines are open. 8888-ASK-CSN. That's 8888-ASK-CSN. Take advantage of the phone banks being open, most of them. And we will do our very best to get to your call in the first half of the show. And with me today is Brad Dacus, the founder and president of the Pacific Justice Institute, a national Christian legal organization that steps in and helps Christians that are being persecuted, taken advantage of in the courts, things that are happening that are totally unfair, not right, even not legal. And organizations like Brad's and doing a tremendous job stepping into the scene, filing court cases, battling on behalf of righteousness and Christians in the courts, and winning a whole lot of cases for the glory of the Lord. So, Brad, good to have you with us today.
Well, it's great to be on the program. And I tell you, you know, there's just so much, Pastor Jeff, that's taking place in our country today, both in terms of challenges to a biblical worldview and children, and particularly in our public schools. But then on the flip side, we also have unbelievable opportunities that have opened up, both to, not only to evangelize, and we have resources talking about that, how to reclaim your school and evangelize, but also to start church homeschool co-ops. And then now we have a executive orders that have come down that parents will be able to use to file complaints about their school pushing ideologies and violating the executive order, pushing radical agendas and things that the average parent wouldn't want for their child to have. There's now actually the federal government is actually looking into these and is preparing to pull back all federal funding for school districts that are violating these basic respect for parents. So we're really on the offense now, I think, more than ever. And of course, most importantly, it's the gospel and for people to be transformed with a relationship with Christ. And that's always got to be our center focus, of course.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, Brad, it's a blessing to me to see just some common sense in Washington. Before Trump took office, I mean, you felt like you were in a mental institution sometimes. I mean, you know, right was wrong, wrong was right. Boys were girls, girls were boys. You know, crazy stuff. But we still got a lot of it going on. I read this week of a woman who's part of the Oregon Mental Health Advisory Board. And, you know, I read that title. She's on the Oregon Mental Health Advisory Board, but she identifies as a turtle. Have you heard that one?
I have not heard of that one.
Oh, yeah, it's real. I checked on it.
That's, maybe she's afraid of dying and she thinks if she's a turtle and it lives 200 years. Yeah, I don't know. I try to understand the logic of that one.
But the paradox, mental health advisory board, and oh, by the way, I'm a turtle. So things like this were gaining traction, just insane thinking, irrational thinking, what we used to call mental illness. Somebody that said that to us 50 years ago, they would already be put somewhere for help. But no, she's good on the mental health board. So anyway, I'm very glad to see common sense restored to Washington and immediately to our country. And it has to be just a sense of relief on your part.
Oh, it definitely is, without a doubt. And, we see it with regard to the federal government, the military turning things around, agencies, which is fantastic. But we still have so much to do in terms at the local level, the state level. These battles are increasing, not decreasing. The good news is that we've got a Department of Justice and Department of Education and FBI that are no longer going to be our headwind, but our tailwind, which is supporting our work in a very cooperative way. So it's a great time to be here, and we just got to take full advantage as Christians in love to do what's right and to push policies that are right. And at the same time, once again, not to kick back, but to know that this is a great opportunity to evangelize, to live your faith, share your faith. When we have a government that is more friendly towards that, we don't just say, oh, that's nice. We need to step in and really see this as an opportunity that God's given us for such a time as this.
Yes, absolutely right. And all right, everybody, this is To Every Man an Answer. I'm Jeff Wickwire, pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, sitting in for Mike Kessler today, Brad Dacus, the founder and president of Pacific Justice Institute. And he's ready to take some legal calls as well. If you want to call in with a legal question, we're going to take both during this hour. Bible questions, legal questions from a Christian point of view, from a very skilled, knowledgeable attorney who can answer those questions, at least help you with your questions. So we've got half the phones still available. Call us right now, 8888-ASK-CSN, and give Brad your question or myself, and we'll do our best to answer them. And let's go now to Kimmy in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, Kimmy. How can we help today?
Aloha.
Hello.
How's it? Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. Are you in Hawaii? Yes. I'm not. go ahead.
Ninth Island now. This one girl said that the Bible explicitly allows abortions, and she gave numbers. Let me see. She gave one. Some a scripture out of the Bible.
Numbers 5?
11
through 31. I've been in Numbers recently in my own devotional, and I can tell you, I sure haven't seen that. 11 through 31 is just talking about marital faithfulness. It would help if you had maybe a particular verse we could look at and see how in the world she's coming up with that, because I can tell you it's thoroughly false from knowing the rest of Scripture without knowing any of the one verse that she might have used. I read this morning in my own devotion.
I wanted to clap back, but I wanted to be accurate. And I reached out to a couple pastors in Hawaii, and nobody could answer me. I sent them what she sent me. It looked like she got it from Reddit, and it says, the Bible explicitly supports abortion when the woman is unfaithful.
No, it does not. God has, he says one of the things that he hates is shedding innocent blood. And one of the things that brought Judah, for instance, and then also the 10 tribes of Israel into the judgment of God was the killing of their children. And you can read, for instance, the book of Jeremiah from stem to stern, beginning to end, and you will come across several times where God tells them why they are going to be carried off into judgment. And that is, for one reason, was the killing of their children. And then God warned them when he was leading them into the promised land. He said, when I take you there and you begin to take the cities of, you know, the Hivites, Hittites, and Amalekites, and all the other ites, when you begin to take their cities, know that they were an abomination to me. The things they were practicing were an abomination, and that's why the land is vomiting them out. And then God says specifically, they were offering their children in the fire to Molech. And God said, that never entered my mind. So he's very clear. He would never stand behind the abortion of a child. So where she gets that, I don't know. I would be interested, like I said, Kimmy, in one verse that we could isolate and look at and see where she comes up with that, but it's a false interpretation because God does not contradict himself. And all through the rest of Scripture, he is just totally against the killing of children, born or unborn. And so I'll turn it over to Brad, who might have some further insights on this.
Yeah, I've been trying to read here in Numbers chapter 5. That's what you said, I believe, right?
Yes.
And I just don't see it here. I just don't see it. So, it's just not there. It's it's just that plain and simple. So I'd like to see what the logic is, but no, God is the creator of life. God creates life. God is the one who is to take life in his time. As human beings, that's not our discretion. As far as just arbitrary living in life, of course you have, you know, we murder someone and in the scriptures, you can get, you know, the death penalty. You have wars where you're fighting to defend your country. And in that process, you have the taking of life. But there's no authorization for the killing of a preborn baby anywhere in scripture. This is the first I've ever heard of such an assertion.
One thing she might be trying to use, Kimmy, is in Numbers 5, there is a test that God gives for a woman whose husband suspects that she's been unfaithful. And she is to drink water that has been prepared with certain things that it would take too long to go into, but you can read Numbers 5 yourself. But it's water with certain ashes in it and whatnot. And God had declared that if she's guilty of adultery and she drinks that water, he says that her, and it's kind of gross. I'm just going to read what it says. It's very vivid, but it says that her thigh would rot, her belly would swell, and the curse would go into her bowels and make her belly swell and her thigh to rot. So she herself apparently would die under God's judgment if it turned out that she had been guilty of adultery. But it says nothing, zero, zip, nada, nothing about a child in her womb dying.
Right.
It's only her. And I think that has to be what she's talking about. And that's really totally misinterpreting the passages, because it was a test. It was, you know, you read it and you kind of go, wow, that's pretty strong. But, you know, that's what God felt about adultery. Thank God for the shed blood of Christ in the new covenant, that we have a chance to repent and not be judged forever for the sin of adultery. But here, this was a test that God gave. You've got a jealous husband. He's convinced she's been unfaithful. He takes her to the priest, The priest puts together this concoction of water and ashes and different things in it. And God had declared that if she's guilty, when she drinks that water, the things I read is what's going to happen to her. And if she's not guilty, she'll drink it and no harm will come. But again, Kimmy, nowhere in any of that description is a baby named or described or involved.
Perfect. I wanted to have that discussion with her, but I wanted to do it biblically and in the right way.
Yeah. Just say to her, show me the verse that mentions a baby dying. There's not one. Yeah. It's the woman that's in the trouble, not an unborn baby. So I hope that helps, Kimmy, and arms you with an answer for this person, because she's very deceived, very wrong. God is against the death, the killing, the murder of children, born or unborn. Okay?
I appreciate that. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Kimmy. You be blessed there in Las Vegas, Nevada. Stay on the line. We'll get you a couple of things for calling in, a couple of gifts. And thanks for listening to Every Man an Answer. And let's go now to James in East Wenatchee, Washington. Did I get that right, James?
Yeah, Wenatchee, yeah.
Wenatchee, okay. How can we help today?
Hello, Pastor. Hi. So I've been a faithful listener, and I've been wanting to ask this for a couple weeks now. In the second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, it talks about after the Antichrist is revealed, God will put a, what does it say here? He's going to put a deluding influence so they will believe the lie. My question is, basically, does that mean that, like, all of us Gentiles down here who had the opportunity to accept Christ and know the truth, does that mean that they're going to be, like, basically unable to be saved after that? Like, it's going to be too late for them? Or what's the nature of that delusion exactly?
Okay, now, let me be sure I'm clear on what you're asking. You're asking, if somebody has been saved and this strong delusion is placed on the earth by God, that threatens the salvation of believers?
Oh, no, what I mean is here when it's... No, so it says in verse 11, for this reason, mm-hmm. God will send upon them a deluding influence so they will believe what is false, in mm-hmm. order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. And right. I'm just wondering, at least Gentiles who just, you know, did not accept Christ before the rapture, are they going to be unable to be saved after that? And only Jews can be saved? Is it the seventh week of Daniel?
I got you. Yeah. I got you now. I don't believe it means that, because all through, first of all, the context here, is the Great Tribulation period. I believe that's the time frame that Paul is dealing with, because we are talking about the Antichrist and the Wicked One being revealed. And so the Antichrist, and in my Bible, wicked, the Wicked One or wicked is a capital W. So you're dealing with a proper noun. This is a individual. It's a singular individual. So it's going to be Antichrist, and we know that Antichrist is revealed during the Great Tribulation. Now, in the Great Tribulation, we know many, many people are going to be saved. As a matter of fact, an innumerable multitude we read about in the early part of the book of Revelation, I think chapter 6, somewhere in there, where this innumerable multitude of souls are seen by John, and they identify themselves as those that have come out of great tribulation. We know that there is going to be preaching of the gospel during the tribulation. The mercy of God is still going to be moving. You will have an opportunity to repent. When we read something like verse 11, now he says, for this cause, the cause is that they have rejected the truth.
Right.
That's the cause. So you got a cause and effect here. They have, this is a generation of people, a world full of people during, in the last days, that have rejected the gospel wholesale. They've just, by and large, yeah, some are saved, but they're a minority. It's a remnant. Most of the world is not at this point. And so because they reject the knowledge of the truth, he puts it, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So you almost have a Romans 1 kind of thing happening here as well. Because they reject the truth, God turns them over. If you read to read Romans 1, it's like today's newspaper. It's one of the most amazing Bible chapters in the New Testament. It's particularly relevant now because yes. We're watching Romans 1 played out right in front of our eyes each and every day. But you read Romans 1, and you will see that God turns people over three times. He turns them over for heterosexual, fornicative lifestyles where they love sensuality more than the truth and refuse to repent. God turns them over. Then the second time, he turns them over because of homosexuality. He literally turns them over to it. He doesn't make them do it, but he gives them over to what they already wanted. That's the second time. The third time, he gives them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a mind that simply is broken. It can't tell right from wrong anymore, can't judge things anymore. It's pretty much dazed and confused at all times. It's a mind that doesn't work properly. God turns an entire culture over to that reprobate mind because they refused to keep him in their mind. Now that's Romans 1. For me, you have the same kind of thought here. Here is people that have rejected the knowledge of the truth. So God says, okay, I'm just going to give you over to a strong delusion. I'm going to give you over. It says, God shall send them, give them over, turn them over to a strong delusion. So that's one of the ways that God divvies out judgment. We tend to, you know, we think of earthquakes and storms and, you know, all kinds of cataclysmic things when we think of God's judgment. But one of the worst kinds of judgment is when he turns you over to what you're demanding to have, you know, a sensual lifestyle, a perverted lifestyle, or you want nothing to do with God. You don't even want him in your thoughts. Then God says, okay, I'm just going to turn you over to what a mind is that will not, that has no room for me. And that is a broken mind. So it's the same thought here. And I want to give it over to you, Brad, and see your thoughts on this.
Yeah. It's so true. Romans 1 is so applicable for today. We see it just playing itself out throughout our nation. I think it's real important to notice what you said before, which I think is worth repeating, and that is, you know, God is a just God. He's a loving God. And he really makes it really clear, both in Romans 1 as well as in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, how that man rebelled against God. Man was proud. Man refused to acknowledge God or refused to honor him, you know, choose to go their own way. God doesn't push anyone in that regard. It's a response. God's actions are a response to their rejection of him, to their refusal to hear the gospel or to receive the gospel of Christ. And so it's real important to understand that God is not going to, the God we have is not a God who is ever going to take someone who is struggling with sin, someone who is wanting to turn away, wanting to repent, or wanting to, if say is that they are a believer. Many believers think, well, gee, is God going to reject me? Is he just going to throw me away? That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about here about people who are just turning away from God. They're their own God. They have their own truth, as we say today. And they're turning away. That's, they're bringing it effectively on themselves. This is God's response. also truth and knowledge and righteousness, that's a gift from God. And so God is taking away the understanding of that truth because they have completely rejected him and the grace that he's given them with that truth. And then there to deal with the outcome that comes from turning away from God. We turn away from God. It's not a minor thing. It's a major thing. And not only can this happen, but also, God could take someone home early. So it's important to, for us as both believers, as well as for the non-believers, for the believers to follow the Lord and take their faith seriously. But also for the non-believers, of course, when they turn away from God like that, completely deny the Lord. This God's word is very clear what facilitates that and what explains it. And we see it in our world today. We just shake our heads. It's how can they do that? How can they live that way? How can they say that? Well, they have a heart that's turned from God, and now they're just totally given in to their own delusion. So, yeah.
And so, James, I would encourage you to read Romans 1. You'll see this same principle at work. They were turned over to uncleanness the first time, vile affections the second time, and a reprobate mind the third time. The reprobate mind, to me, is the bottom of the last rung of the ladder, because now you don't know. You're the blind leading the blind. You're in the dark. And that's for people who have no intention of repenting, and it's a form of God's judgment. So, James, I really hope that helps. Went into a lot of explanation, but I hope that helps you understand it. And thanks for calling in from East Wenatchee. And stay on the line. We'll get you a couple of gifts for calling in. And we'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere for more on To Every Man an Answer. We'll be right back.
How do we change a nation? One heart at a time. The Ministry of Preborn shares heartbeats and hearts by loving women in crisis and leading them to Christ. When this mother came to a Preborn Network clinic, she was scared and not sure if she could afford another child.
It was just a scary time for us, having my daughter, how that would impact our lives. When I came here, it was just so amazing to come to an environment where someone would actually pray for me and guide me through my battles that I was facing during that time.
After receiving love, support, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, this mom chose life for her daughter. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Everybody, I'm Jeff Wickwire here on To Every Man an Answer, filling in for Mike Kessler. I'm the pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. And if you're in this neck of the woods and you're looking for a church home, give us a visit. We're right on 35 South and Garden Acres in far south Fort Worth, right off of I-35 and Garden Acres. You'll see our building on the side of the service road. Can't miss it. Great big building. We'd love to have you come and visit. And great to have you today. And we have with us Brad Dacus, founder and president of Pacific Justice Institute. doing a great work all throughout the country on helping Christians and those that are standing on the word of God to have justice in court, who are being treated unfairly, unrighteously, and often, sometimes, illegally. So Brad and his great organization, PJI, step in and help them. I believe it's just pro bono, right, Brad?
That's right. All without charge. We have over 270 cases right now in active litigation, coast to coast, 36 offices, coast to coast. So we're here to serve anyone in the United States or wherever the American flag is flying. They should not hesitate to contact us or go to our website, which is pji.org, P for Pacific, J for Justice, I for Institute, .org. And we've got great resources there to empower parents, families, and churches to know their rights and how to protect them and their families.
Amen. Wonderful work. And so appreciative of that, Brad, and everything you're doing. Because Lord knows we need people in the legal arena standing up for righteousness and helping Christians that are being genuinely persecuted for standing on Scripture. Speaking of that, our next caller has a story like that to tell us and has a question for you, Brad. So let's go to Dave in Madras, Oregon. Hello, Dave. And you've got a question for Brad.
Hello. Yes, sir. So I have a friend at my church, and he was going through a fire science course through a fire department in Southwest Washington and attending Southwest Oregon. And he was attending Southwest Oregon Community College. I saw him last Sunday and I asked him how things were going. And he told me that he got kicked out of the course because in one of the classes, they were using a dummy for first aid, CPR, things like that. And he referred to the dummy as an it. He didn't call it a her or a him. And one of his classmates was offended by that. And so she took that to her very liberal, the administrators of the course, the teachers. And then those teachers brought that before the school board, and he got kicked out of the course. And I asked him if what his fire department that he was working with had said, and they said, you're not going to get any help from a legal thing for this. And when he was telling me that, I immediately thought of you, Brad, and I thought, well, I think that Brad might be able to help him. So that's what I was calling about.
Yeah, if he wants to get back in the course, or if he wants to justice, I guess, I'd love for have him to contact us. We have an office there in Oregon. We'd love to help. In fact, I'm going to be speaking up in Seaside, Oregon, not too distant future, I believe. But they should definitely contact us. You can go to our website, pji.org, and on there he should mention that his friend heard me, Brad Dacus on CSN, and recommended that he make contact. I would have him do that immediately, and we can look and see what the situation is. If he wants to talk to me directly, he can ask to talk to me directly. I'd be happy to do that. If he wants to call, just call our main number, which is 916-857-6900. 916-857-6900. It's on our website too, pji.org. And you can ask to talk to me, and I'd be happy to talk to him and see all the details of his situation. But yeah, this is ridiculous, but it's so widespread. And we're seeing great things with executive orders. We're going to be utilizing some of those executive orders in our own litigation moving forward. This just shows you how outrageous and intolerant and hate-filled and bigoted faculty have become all throughout, not just our main universities, our junior colleges, and quite sadly, even in our public schools across the country, we're seeing this kind of extreme radical response to people who have different perspectives, particularly a Judeo-Christian worldview.
Has that helped, Dave?
Awesome. That does help very much. I appreciate that. That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Yeah.
It's just absurd. You know, it's absurd. And it. So he called a dummy it. Was the dummy, do you happen to know, was it like a male or a female dummy?
I don't know.
It's probably a neutral. Probably just a non-male female.
Yeah. And to call it, and somebody is major offended over that. What our culture has descended into in some areas. I'm not surprised it's Oregon, to tell you the truth, but there you go. All right. Well, I hope that helps, Dave. And thanks for calling in. And if it works out for your friends, good, and he's restored back, give us a call. Let us know.
Okay. Sure will. Hey, I appreciate you guys. Right. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Bless you. And let's go now to Joshua in Joshua Tree, California. How can we help Joshua?
How are you guys doing today? So my wife was doing her daily reading the other day. She was specifically reading in Acts about the day of Pentecost. And mm-hmm. she started reading some more and noticed constantly in scripture that the disciples are also that we see when John the Baptist, when his mother was pregnant with him, that he leaped for joy and was filled with the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit. And she had asked me, well, if the Holy Spirit has never departed from these people in the first place, why is it constantly being reiterated that the disciples and other people are filled with the Holy Spirit? So I didn't really have an answer or know how to answer that. So I'm calling to see what you might have to say.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I want to just go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, where Paul tells the Ephesian church, and by default, all of us, he says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Now he's talking to Christians, clearly. This is the Ephesian church, the church that was so gifted. He's talking to them, and he tells them, be filled. Now, the Greek language here is important because the verb tense matters here. When he says, be filled with the Spirit, that verb is in what we call the present active tense. And it means be being filled, be continuously filled, be ever more filled. So it's an ongoing process. The same kind of verb tense is used, for instance, when Jesus says, seek and you will find, ask and it will be given you, knock and it shall be open. Well, if you look in the verb tense of the Greek language there, all three, ask, seek, and knock, are in the present active indicative verb tense, which means ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. So you have an ongoing action. And I don't know about you, Joshua, and I'm sure it's true for you, but with me, I need to be refilled every day. I get with God in the morning. I get into the Word, and I go into prayer is the very first thing that I do, and I don't want to come out of there until I have been freshly filled with the Spirit of God, encouraged by God, built up in the faith. And so I make a daily practice of being refilled. It's not that you lost your filling. You didn't lose the Holy Spirit, but the being filled is something that God intended for us to experience on an ongoing basis. And so it's not, once again, not telling us that we somehow lost it and need to get it back. It's that practice of, you know, Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's within you. Fan the flame is a better way to put it. Fan the flame of the gift of God. Well, what's the gift of God? It's the Holy Spirit. Fan the flame. Stir up the gift of God that's within you, Timothy. So, we do see the disciples being refilled. You know, after they would leave being persecuted. I'm thinking of one instance in particular early on in the book of Acts. You mentioned Acts. They were persecuted. They were whipped. And as soon as they came out of the presence of the Sanhedrin Council, they went and found the brethren, and they prayed. They prayed a powerful prayer. And there was a shaking. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and boldness. Well, that was just a couple of chapters after Pentecost. So what's that about? Well, they were refilled. And so we need to understand the Christian walk is not a, you know, once you receive, you know, the infilling of the Spirit, that's it. You never need it again. No, we need it on an ongoing basis. And that's the teaching of Scripture. And there are ways to do that. Get into the Word, get into prayer, like the disciples did there in that I just mentioned in the early book of Acts, and stir up, fan into flame the gift of God each and every day. And Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like how you've framed this as a choice, and not just a presumption. So, and the fact that the verse starts with when it says, "And do not get drunk with wine for that dissipation, but be filled with Spirit." There's a choice there. And believers, we as believers can make the wrong choices. We're dealing with stress, anguish, hard times, guilt, you know, fear. It's easy. It's our human nature to go for something that's just it's right there. We can, whether it's alcohol or drugs, whatever. It's easy for us to seek these things around us and things that are even rubber stamped by this world as the, quote, solution. And yet we have a God who is right here with us, not just doctrinally or theologically, but personally and relationally. And when we turn our eyes to him, we're able to endure all kinds of things. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses, I believe it's 10 and into 11, it talks about, you know, we need to follow Paul's example, and part of that is love. And how do you have love when you have it surrounded by, you know, the other words, which is dealing with long suffering and persecutions, afflictions, and well, it's because we're walking in the Spirit. It's because our eyes are on Christ. It's because we're communing with God, and when we do that, we see things more as God sees them. We see people more as God sees them, even people who are our enemies. And we also are renewed in our faith and our trust in God. It's a choice. It's a decision that we as believers have. And how many times do we not exercise that? I know in my own life, how many times do I get stressed because of something, and all I need to do is to call upon the Lord. And a lot of that is in prayer or even in thanksgiving and worship. And we see the David did that throughout the book of Psalms. Some of the Psalms started off with not such a happy David. But as he cried out to the Lord and he clung mm-hmm. to the Lord, we saw the Holy Spirit through the Psalm move. And it would often end with the spirit of joy and thanksgiving, and which is what happens when we cling to the Lord.
Yeah, that's good, Brad. Thank you. Joshua, does that help?
No, that perfectly answers it. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Joshua, and you be blessed there. And hey, you're in a town after your name, right? Joshua Tree?
That is true, yes.
Okay, what are the odds? Well, thanks, Joshua, for calling in from California. And stay on the line. We'll get you a couple of gifts for calling in. And you be blessed, all right?
All right, you as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go now to Scott, and I'm going to try this. Orofino, Idaho. Did I get that right, Scott? Scott, are you there? Hello, Scott. All right, we seem to have lost Scott, or we're having some kind of a technical difficulty. So if our tech folks could perhaps help Scott get on. We'll go now to Aiden in Bakersfield, California. And Scott, don't give up. We'll try to get you on in a minute. Let's go to Aiden, Bakersfield, California. And how can we help today, Aiden?
Hi, how's it going, Pastor and Mr. Brad? I was with the woman for 3 years. We had a child, a beautiful baby girl. She's healthy, very intelligent, just a joy. Unfortunately, me and the mother are separated, you know, and it was devastating and it was confounding and confusing. And I understand and accept that. And moving forward, I want to take up the, you know, I want to raise my daughter with Christ-like principles and values. We go to church on Sundays. We go to Westside Christian or the Road Church here in Palmdale, California, or Leona Valley in Palmdale. And I was just looking for some encouragement. We're in court for the visitation, the parental. You know, she filed for a joint parental and joint physical custody, which is great. It's, you know, that's good. Joint is we share it. And generally, I want to be a positive influence in this woman's life. I don't want to let any type of jealousy in the future for whoever, you know, she chooses to be her future spouse or whatever, any type of jealousy or anger get in the way of me being a positive and influence in her life. I know in the Bible it does mention when you have a child with someone, you are married to them in flesh. I believe that's how it goes. So I just wanted to know if you could speak a bit on that, perhaps if I were to bring up scripture or my values as a Christian in the courtroom in California in Los Angeles County, would that be frowned upon? Would that be counterproductive in a sense? I'm just looking for some encouragement and some guidance on raising my daughter.
Let's go to Brad for this. This is more your lane, Brad, than mine. So why don't you comment, please?
Yeah. Unfortunately, in California courts and in many courts across the country, expressing as far as your faith or bringing in verses and things like that can be very dangerous. And it's a strong word I know I'm using. But some judges... they're actively bowed the knee to a radical agenda dealing with the LGBTQ movement. It is what it is. And if they see that you're a Christian, their hate and demise and despising of Christians can easily come out. I've been in the courtroom before. I've seen it with my own two eyes. It's like it's demonic. So you want to be very wise and discerning. It's important. It's good not to, you know, deny our faith. It's, you know, God doesn't want us to hide our faith. But we also should be wise and discerning and understanding, you know, where you are. So, you know, that's my general response. Now, if the Holy Spirit, my qualifier is always this, you know, if the Holy Spirit leads you to say something or a verse or something like that, I'm not going to go against that. You need to seek the Lord, pray and seek his wisdom. But as a general rule in Los Angeles County and in most courts across the country, unfortunately, where America is today, and especially in blue states like California, it can be very dangerous for them to see that you're a Christian. I've seen judges just become livid and just be completely unfair to one versus the other because of the faith and the Christian beliefs of one of the parents versus the other parent that has a different worldview and has a different agenda perhaps at times. So it's something to take into consideration. And don't go in with the spirit of fear. Know that the Lord's with you. In fact, I just want to pray for you right now. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will give this brother your divine wisdom. Yes. And your peace upon him, Father. Shield him, Lord God, from any feelings of bitterness and demise, Lord God, and just let your love and your truth reign in his life. Pray for healing also, Father, as well. And, of course, we pray for that, you know, for his wife, but also that little child, that she'll have a mom and a dad that that she sees love and is and can be blessed with that as she grows up. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're with us no matter what we're facing. No matter where we are, even if it's a court, even if it's with a a judge that may be hostile. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Aiden. I hope that helps. And thanks for calling, and our prayers are with you. And as Brad said, wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. That verse is so relevant these days when so many people have a genuine persecutorial bias against the Christian faith. So our prayers are with you, Aiden, and we wish you God's blessing.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Mr. Brad. Thank you.
You bet.
Take care.
All right, we're going to try Scott again in Orofino, Idaho. Scott, can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, good to have you.
I'm asleep there, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, the question I had was if you know anything about the Sid Rock I saw in Newsmax.
Sid, okay, what about it? Sid Roth was in Newsmax?
He has a show on Sunday nights, and I heard him
on Newsmax.
Pardon?
He has a show on Newsmax. Wow. So your question has to do with some of the things that he has on his show.
Yeah. Well, you know, he evidently claims to be a Jew who's converted to Christianity, but you know, then in the next breath, I heard him say that soon everybody's going to be blessing people and they'll be growing new limbs and everything. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that show. You know, Sid Roth's program that, you know, airs in a lot of places. He allows so many things on it that I just find completely unbiblical, new age kind of stuff, very mystical stuff. It's almost to the point that anybody can claim anything supernatural. You know, the name of the show is It's Supernatural. And so anybody can claim any kind of outlandish, bizarre experience. You know, I went to heaven and there was a chocolate factory and a Santa Claus and you know, it's just a wonderful place to play in playgrounds and just bizarre, unbiblical stuff that he allows and the audience claps for. And it's been at times very concerning for me because it validates stuff that I really think is, if not just completely deceptive, even dangerous, some of the things that are claimed. Because there are some things that have been taught on his show that if you were to apply them, I think you would end up in some real trouble. So I think you're right, Scott, to be a little bit troubled by it. I would never recommend that show. That's just me. This is my opinion. I don't know where Brad is on this. But I can't, as a pastor and a Bible student, recommend that show. So anyway, I don't know your thoughts, Brad. Do you have any experience with Sid Roth's show?
Well, my Uncle Roth, I really think... No, I'm just... Too, I'm sorry. It's a little humor there. But no, I'm not related to him. But I think this sort of, in a way, reminds me of something that I've preached from a good bit. It's out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Right after it's in verse 12, it says, you know, Christians will be persecuted. Verse 13, it says, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this is what we're facing in our world today. And then also did chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away from their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. This is a prophecy of what we'll see in the end times impacting the church, mind you, because people say, well, yeah, non-believers. Actually, this is a threat to the church and the church body.
It is. So, Brad, our time is up. I hate to cut you off, but
that's
time's
okay.
up. Thank you, Scott, for your call. Hope that helped. And thank you, everybody, for listening to Every Man an Answer. We'll see you next Monday, same time, same place. And you have a great, great, blessed weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.